Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host. And as always, Holy Spirit is our overseer. He is the one that leads us and guides us into all truth. And we are so grateful that he has given us another day to be in the land of the living. Yes, to be in the land of the living. So we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for each and every one that are part of this line. We ask the Lord to bring blessings, favor and blessings to your home, to your job, to your relationship, to your family. We ask God to touch you with the hand of favor today. Glory to God. We are excited about today, because in the midst of the storm, there can still be peace. Did you hear what I say? In the midst of the storm, there can still be peace. Hallelujah. Some folk are still in the midst of the storm and complaining about the storm instead of calling on the peacemaker. See, Jesus is the peacemaker. I just want to say this for a minute. When the disciples were out in the ship with Jesus, or the boat, however you want to term it, the waves begin to act crazy, act silly, and come into the boat. It was coming in at such a speed that the disciples thought that they were going to perish. And Jesus was sleeping all that time. But they got to a place where they decided that they didn't start worrying about the storm. And they said, well, ain't no point of us worrying about the storm because we can't do anything about the storm. So what they decided, let us wake up Jesus. And I could feel like in my mind's eye, not in the Bible, but I feel in my mind's eye what they were saying is that we can't do nothing about this storm. Let's wake up the master and see what he can do about the storm, see what he will do about the storm. But you know that when you call upon Jesus, hallelujah, when we call upon Jesus, that all he says, he don't make a whole lot of fuss about anything. All he says is, peace, be still. And when he said, peace, be still, what happened is the storm ceased. And I'm just trying to excite, get somebody to a place this morning that they will recognize it's not about them worrying. Worrying is not going to change the situation. You've been worrying for so long, and the situation is still the same way. What I'm getting you to a point that what we need to do is just call on Jesus. Just call on Jesus. Oh, Lord, just call on Jesus. And when you call on Jesus, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah, Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. The situation is going to change. It is going to change because he is that awesome. He is that powerful. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He is just so awesome and so powerful that the winds and the waves and the sun and the moon and the stars, everything obeys his voice, his command. Don't wait till too late to call on Jesus. Don't wait till too late to call on Jesus. We got to go into this place this morning. I like to call it at times the quiet place. It's the place where I go and I meet my Savior. and I begin to talk to him. And when I begin to talk to him, he answered me. You know, it's a place I call the throne room. You say what you don't see, any room, any throne room, but you don't have to see it because I can see it. And that's all that matters. As long as I see it, this is what I can see. And Father God, we just thank you. I just thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. O Lord, for giving me another day, a day that I can come before you and just admonish you for who you are. You are mighty. You are gracious. You are loving and kind, full of mercy, a forgiving God. Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, O God, for just touching me this morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, I know it wasn't the alarm clock. It wasn't the television commentator, but it was you, O Lord, that came in this morning and woke me up so that I could be in the land of the living and experience what the living is experiencing today. Holy Father, I pray that you would come upon this line this morning with all your glory, with all your power, all your authority, and begin to move on this line like never before. God, I pray that you would touch circumstances and situations, O God, and begin to change circumstances for those that are going through this morning. Lord, touch every problem today, Lord. Some folk seem like they're at the end of everything, O God. And they just seem like they can't continue. They want to give up. But Father God, today, I am praying for you to touch today. I am praying for you to bring transformation today for somebody today, Lord, because you are a mighty God and you are mighty to save. I pray today, O God, that you would move in such a miraculous way, Father, that we would experience your glory. Moses says, if you don't go, he will not go. Moses said to show me your glory. Well, today I'm saying the same thing, God, that if you don't show up on this line and touch somebody, heal somebody, deliver somebody, set somebody free, restore somebody today. Touch somebody's heart today in such a way that they'll begin to receive courage, O God. Lord, I pray that today that you would come into this place and we would experience your glory. We'll experience your glory, Lord. All we want to be is where you are, God. We want to be where you are. Lord, you know that Deacon-elect Bina, Levi Radcliffe, Levi has lost his father, and he's about to lose a sister suffering with AIDS. Father, we pray today that you would give him the strength that he needs and all that he is facing. Lord, strengthen him in the areas of his life that he needs strength. Lord, strengthen his wife as she stands by her husband's side and pray for him and intercede. Intercede for him to help him through. Lord, we pray for the anointing to destroy every yoke. We lift up Sister Carmen, O God. She is in the midst of the fire, Lord. And it seems like everything she touches just falling apart. But Lord, we are trusting in you, O God, to make a difference, O God. Just make a difference in her life. Lord, make a difference in her life. Holy Spirit of the living God. We know that if Jesus don't bring change, no one else can. So we are coming this morning in the precious name of Jesus, the name that's above all names. And we are asking you, Jesus. We are asking you, Jesus, to touch her situation right now. Touch her situation, God, and bring deliverance, oh God. Bring healing. Bring restoration. We pray, oh God, as you touch her situations, oh God, that you wouldn't only touch her situation, but there's so many others that are suffering, oh God, physically and financially and every way that you could mention, Lord, they're suffering, God. But we are trusting in you, Jesus. We will not give up. We will not throw in the towel. We are staying in your presence, O God. Holy Spirit of the living God, we call upon you this morning to reach down from your home in glory and just come into time with us this morning. Come into time with us this morning. We are nothing without you. We are nothing without your presence. And we are seeking you this morning to just bring deliverance, oh God. Just bring deliverance, oh God. We ask you to wake up the dead in spirit this morning. Wake up the dead in spirit, oh God. We ask you to turn back the hand of frustration. Turn back the hand of torment, oh God. Turn back the hand of poverty, oh God. Lord, release the hand of favor upon your people. Lord, as they seek your face, oh God, and they get to a place at times where they wonder, Lord, why am I serving God? He's not doing anything for me. But Lord, we know that you are always doing things for us, oh God. You give us life, you give us breath, you give us strength, oh God. And Lord, there's much more you have in store for us. And all we have to do is just hold on, Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning, oh God, for the strength that you have given me, oh God. Because without you, I can do nothing, but with you, I can do all things, oh God. Lord, I ask you to bring in, sending financial blessings, oh God, that, Lord, I can be a blessing to those that need a blessing from you, Lord. Let me be the hand, oh God, that will bless those that need a blessing, oh God. Fill my heart with love, oh God, that I can love on those that need loving, oh God. Lord, that I can caress them, oh God, that I can hold them, oh God. Embrace them, oh God, where they need to be embraced, oh God. I pray, Father God, for that homeless man, that homeless woman that don't know where they're going to rest their head tonight. But Lord, I pray that, oh God, in the midst of all that they're facing, the storms that they're facing, that you'll be the shelter for them, oh God. You'll be the shelter that they're seeking, oh God. Lord, that they'll trust you enough to rely on your majestic arms to cover them. Lord, that you'll shelter them under the shadow of your wings, oh God. Father, we pray for our Bishop Lincoln Wright and Lady Wright and our congregational members, oh God. We pray for all the members all over the world that are part of this electronic church, the Church Without Walls. We ask you, oh God, to make a way for them out of no way. Holy Spirit of the living God, touch a life today. Change a life today. Make a difference in somebody's life today, oh God. God, do what you did for the man at the side of the road when the Good Samaritan came by, oh God. God, bring relief, oh God, to your people. Let the people see and know how awesome you are, oh God. Lord, it's okay for us to tell them, but Lord, Allow them to experience your glory. Allow them to experience your glory, O God. Allow them to experience your mercy, your grace, O God. Allow them to do that, Lord God. And Lord, we'll be so happy to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that is so due to your name, O God. We love you so much, Jesus. We are nothing without you, O God. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want, Jesus. You're all I ever needed. You're all I need. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. When I'm going through my problems, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with sounds of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place, Jesus. You always fill my heart with sounds of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Lord, I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Yes, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sanctuary for you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that my voice isn't waked up yet, but Lord, you'll give me a desire to worship you this morning in sound, not by the CV player, but from my heart. Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, that you have given me breath. You've given me strength this morning. You've given me eyes. You've given me ears, oh God. Lord, yes, Lord, the things that the world is craving, Lord, I'm not craving, Lord. I'm craving more of you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, oh God, to just look down from heaven, oh God, and look into time this morning. And God, begin to transform us, Lord. Begin to prepare us to be a sanctuary, God. Make us that place. Bring us to that place, oh God, where we can worship you, a place that you really want to dwell, oh God, that you want to dwell in our hearts, Lord. We may not have what the Joneses have. We may not have what the Jeffersons have, but, Lord, we have you, Lord. And having you is more than enough, Lord. You are our preparer. Lord, you are our shelter. You are our healer, Lord God. You are our supplier, Lord God. You are everything that we need, oh God. You are our comforter, my shield, my buckler, my high tower, Lord. You are my king. Lord, you are who you said you are. You are my redeemer, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know sometimes it's hard to pray when we are going through and when we are facing storms, but I just remember the disciples. I just can't get this up my spirit this morning, but I just remember the disciples, Lord, in the midst of destruction, Lord God, all they could do is call upon you. And Lord, as I'm facing storms, oh God, there's things that I need, oh God, I need, oh God, for this convocation, Lord, and I'm just trusting you to supply. I'm trusting you, Lord God, that you will make a way, Lord God. Lord, this thing that other people want, I'm not the only one need. I'm not the only person that want. Lord, we all need something to take us to the next place in you, Jesus. Lord, even to the place that where we can take care of our family members, our friends, Lord, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus, to supply. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you, Jesus. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me, Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me, Jesus. Have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Jesus, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. I feel your presence. Lord, have your way in me. I need you, Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. I won't give up. Lord, have your way in me. Even though everything is falling around me, I won't give up on you, Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I trust that you will supply my needs. Lord, have your way in me. You're my healer, Lord. Lord, have your way in me. Yes, you're my protector, Lord. Lord, have your way in me. I say you're my shield and my buckler, Lord. Lord, have your way in me. You're my high tower, Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. You're my fortress, Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord, excuse me, for allowing me to come right there and just worship in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. When you get there, you'll understand what I'm talking about. There's a song we used to sing back in Washington. I don't know if I can remember it, but we used to sing that song when we were, we old folk would just sing that song. And we said, Jesus, 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 there is something about the name. Jesus, 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 like the fragrance after the rain. Then he said, King and kingdom shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. We say, Master, Savior, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, Jesus, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. King and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something, yes, there's something, I said there's something, do you know it's something about, yes, there's something about that name. When you're facing trials and tribulations, all we do is call on Jesus. All we do is call on Jesus. I remember when mother couldn't buy. She had no food in the cupboard. And she began to cry, Jesus. She said, Jesus is on the main line. She says, all I do is call him up and tell him what I want. And then she said, I just wait on Jesus. She says, I just wait on Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? You just wait on Jesus because he has a plan. And his plan is not my plan. His plan is his plan. And I have to get connected to his plan. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Sometime you just got to, well, let me talk about me. I'm going to turn this woman of God loose in a second. Sometime you have to get to that place where you just cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb. And I have to recognize for me, just for me, that he is the one that bears everything that concerns me. When I give it to him, something happens. I would like to sing this song for you guys, but I think I'll do it another time. But I'll give you just a little bit of it. And it says, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for your nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Where is the Lamb? My throat is not clear yet, but you got what I'm saying. We'll do it another day when my throat is real clear. But I'm wake up. My voice haven't wake up yet. But this song talks about Jesus going to the cross, and it talks about the saints just beginning to thank God in the midst of all their trials, all their trials that they're going through. They begin to put their trials behind them, and they begin to thank God for what he has done at the cross. And what the chorus said is, worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. He said that we crown him now with many crowns. That's all our sins. It's the crowns that he took on. He says, you reign in victory. He said that you're high and lifted up, Son of God, darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. That's the chorus. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And whatever we are facing today, just remember that he is still worthy. And Keisha, Deaconess Keisha just lost her father-in-law. Her husband's father just passed away. And she's still praising God. She's about to lose a sister-in-law, who is dying in Florida also from AIDS. And she's still praising God. See, in the midst of the fight, that's when you really break out your praise like never before. You don't get in a moaning position. There's no time to moan. There's no time to groan. This is the time to praise God. In the midst of everything that's going on, you still got to praise Him. When Elijah was on the mountaintop and the Syrian army surrounded the whole mountain and they were coming at him from every angle to destroy him, he's the prophet of God. He's the man of God. He's the servant of God. And he is the man that Israel, the king of Israel, is always calling up to say, well, go before the Lord and intercede for us. And now here come, he have no, now come, now he needs help, but he has nobody to intercede for him. Hallelujah. Isn't that like us? That we can help everybody, the mama and the sister and the brother, but when we need help, there's nobody around to help us. Listen. Elijah began to, he didn't begin to sulk and moan and stuff. What he did, he began to seek Jesus. He began to seek God and begin to pray to God. And he had his servant with him, Gehazi. Gehazi with him, nervous. I can imagine this little young man trembling in his underwear, just trembling in his boots. And glory to God, he just told the Lord, said, Lord, just open my servant's eye that he might see that they that are with us are more than those that are against us. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to understand that don't matter what we are dealing with, that there's somebody going through with more, they have more, greater situation that going on in their life that they can't handle. But thank God that we don't have to handle what we are dealing with ourselves, because Jesus, you'll get it tomorrow. Jesus is our handler. He is our supplier. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm waiting for my ship to come in. When my ship to come in, I'm going to have more than enough. Keisha, Deaconess Keisha, I'm going to have more than enough when my ship coming. And maybe even one of those, we call it. And maybe one of them supersonic jets, you know, a starship that going to just land in my driveway, going to just land before the house. Ah, God, I might be going down the highway. Might just touch down. And people are going to just shout that don't know him. And when he opened that door, he's going to say, son, just step on in here. I got everything you need here. Glory to God. I just see these things. See, if you don't see in the spirit, you'll miss what God is doing in your life, because you're just looking at the natural. And you say, well, I don't have the food for my dog. Huh? I don't have the food for my cat. Huh? My God, I can't put gas in my car. Huh? One thing after another is going wrong. But listen, when you see that God is still holding you, keeping you here, there must be some reason why he's not letting you die. There must be some reason why he still has you got a job. It may be still some way where you can still lay it on your head. Some reason why you can lay your head down somewhere. It doesn't matter if you're in the shelter. It doesn't matter if you're in Salvation Army. It doesn't matter if you're at the hotel. It doesn't matter if you're in a boat. My God, it doesn't matter if you're underneath the bridge. Huh? But he's still keeping you here. It could be the other way around, that you're in the morgue. That people that's coming and looking at your body now, they say she was a good girl or he was a good man. I don't want you saying I was good when I'm in the grave. Tell me I'm good right now. Give me my flowers while I can smell them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is keeping me here so, because some people are going to give me some flowers while I'm alive, and I'll be able to smell them. That's what it's all about. Glory to God. We just were looking over a subject that we do here. We teach this message one time. We teach this message sometime back, and sometime in the future we're going to release it again, because everybody's looking for love. Everybody's looking for revival. And doesn't necessarily mean sexual love. Hallelujah. Because a lot of folk, when they hear love, they think about that. But that's not what it means. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But we're going to teach about this. Where is the love, the revival we need? We're going to teach about it again. Remember, we teach about that sometime earlier this year or last year, Keisha? We're going to teach that again. But Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for all the storms. We thank you for every storm that's going on in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the calm. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that when the storm is coming, God, you're about to do something miraculous, Lord Jesus. And all we have to do is stand on. I remember the Caucasian lady or down south that was, the tornado was about to wipe her house out, and she was a Christian lady. She was about to lose everything that she had and more, even her life. And but she stood up front of her house, and I saw this thing, and she began to, was in the news. They said, the Bible said, the people said that she, not the Bible, excuse me, forgive me, Lord. The people said that she just stood outside her house, and she began to say, Lord, this is all that I own right here. I know this is where my grandchildren come. Lord, where my children come. storm. She said, Lord, this turn, cause the tornado to make a different turn. And the tornado make a turn a mile or half a mile down the way and went a different direction. Why told everything going the other way? But her house was one standing there. You know, when we just trust God, God, just said, Lord, I just depended on you. Lord, if you don't supply what I need right now, Lord, not what I want, because I know sometimes the things I want is not what God wants me to have. But Lord, if you don't supply what I need, God, I'm just going to be left helpless and homeless and shelterless and all the stuffless, oh God. But Lord, I'm depending on you as my helper, my supplier, my shield, my buckler. Oh God, my healer, my deliverer, my God, the horn of my salvation. Lord, if you don't supply for me, Lord, there's no other place I can go, Lord. Lord, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm taking care of my children by myself, Lord. My God, my husband is a deadbeat dad. My wife is, oh God, is never wrong, Lord God. Lord, if you don't help me, Lord, there's no way I can go to. I can't go to my mom. I can't go to my dad. I can't go to my brother or sister. They're never wrong to help me, Lord God. They're only takers, Lord. Lord, I ask you, God, and I'm coming to you, God, because there's no other place I can go, Lord Jesus. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me, Lord God, that I can serve you, Lord. Make me right to serve you, Lord. Lord, fulfill my empty bottle, oh God. Lord, cause food to be in my fridge, oh God, my empty fridge, my empty cupboards, oh God. God, I see my back book is saying 0000000. No numbers in front, Lord. Lord, put money into my bank book, Lord God. Put money where I can be a helper now, and to those that need help, oh God. God, begin to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask you, oh God, to do this for me, oh God, that, Lord God, that I can be a blessing to those, oh God. Lord, I'll give you honor. I give you praise, oh God. Somebody will know, God, that the fire that I've been in, that the only way I got up that fire that I was in, you had to bring me out. Lord, just like you did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, just like you do for Daniel in the lion's den. God, just like you did for Jonah in the belly of the whale. Huh? Lord, just like you did for Jonah in the belly of the whale. Lord, just like you did for Daniel in the lion's den. Oh God, just like you supplied those five stones for David when he came before Goliath, oh God. Huh? Goliath was big, but you brought him down with one little stone, oh God. Lord, you even gave him extra stones just in case. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that are coming in right now. Right now, Lord. God, I call those things that be not as though they were. Lord, there's somebody that was crying out. I hear the cry in the spirit, oh God. They've been crying out for blessing, but God, I see them being blessed, oh God. I see them, those people being blessed, oh God, beyond their comprehension. I see you meeting all their needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Lord, I see you causing people to give into their bosom. Lord, you're opening doors that no one can close. You're closing doors that no one can open. And Father God, this morning, under this anointing, I release the anointing over my spiritual daughter, Keisha, Lord God. Deaconess Keisha, Lord, I ask you, oh God, to touch her tongue. God, give her the patience as she release your word into the hearts of your people. God, touch Sister Christina, Lord, I missed her on yesterday. Lord, I ask you to touch her, Lord, touch her feet, touch her eyes, touch her ears, touch her kidneys, touch her liver, touch her bladder, Lord God, touch her lungs, oh God, touch her heart, God, touch her blood, touch her arteries, oh God, that her blood will flow freely. Let there be no blockage in her body, oh God. Let her breathe, oh, continuously freely, Lord God. I ask you, oh God, to begin to magnify your glory upon the hands, upon the lives of these people, God. Touch the concerns of Sharita, God. Touch her husband, touch her mother, touch her daughters and sons, oh God. God, do what only you can do, God. Bring a release in the atmosphere. Bring a release in the surroundings, oh God. Touch daughter Kia, oh God. God, bring change to her life, God. Lord, begin to magnify yourself in them. Touch the evangelist. Lord, touch the evangelist Baxter and the evangelist Campbell, Lord. Touch them, oh God. Lord, don't forget our bishop while he's going to and fro to New York. Lord, keep his pathway clear, oh God. Remove every satanic, every demonic, every warlock out of his path, oh God. Every angel of destruction, the angel of death. Lord, move over off the highway. Put them into a ditch when he is driving by, oh God. Lord, as a matter of fact, keep them in the ditch that they would not hurt anyone else on the highways or anywhere, oh God. We pray today. We pray for today for the power of God to reign on this land today. God, let healing, let prosperity, let favor rest upon this land today, God. That folk will just receive it, Lord Jesus. Lord, just stop looking at circumstances. Stop crying about circumstances and just begin to do like Abraham. Call those things that be not as though they were. Lord God, we got to stop looking that I don't have this and I don't have that. But I got to see myself having everything that God said is mine. The Bible said it's mine. He said the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and he add no sorrows to it. Lord, the Bible says in our my God, Proverbs 11:1, that a false balance is abomination to God, but a just way is his delight. Hallelujah. And see, the problem that I find today, Deacon Keisha, it's time for you to come on in. But that, what I find today is that, glory to God, that we are not balanced. We're not balanced in the things of God. We're not balanced in the things of the world. Hallelujah. We're trying to be over on this side. When we don't need to be on that side, we need to be over on this side. And God is saying, it's time for us to get balanced. Understand that we are in a world that is full of torment, and we have got to be, my God, we have got to be the solution in every situation. We got to stop worrying about what we don't have and what we want and what we don't. All this stuff. And glory to God. God said, I'm going to supply your need. Didn't I say that? God said, I'm going to do what I said I will do. I'm not the man that I shall land, neither the son of man that I need to repent. God said, I am going to do it, God. You just got to trust me. You just got to trust me. Begin to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for, oh God, thank you for the sacrifice on the cross. Thank you, oh God, for shedding your blood. Thank you, oh God, for supplying for me. Thank you, oh God, for making a way out of no way. Thank you, oh God, for being my shelter. Thank you, oh God, for being my everything, oh God. Begin to thank God. Hallelujah. Begin to thank God. Even though when you don't see it, begin to thank God. Hallelujah. Do you know how much I thank God for supplying my needs? Do you know how I thank God for giving me favor? Even when I can't see it, I begin to thank God. I begin to thank God for healing my body. Oh my God, I begin to thank God for healing me from the inside out. I begin to thank God for changing me from the inside out when nobody can see it, when I can't see it myself. But I begin to thank God for healing me from the crown of my hair to the sole of my feet. I begin to thank God for supplying all the finances that I need to meet my needs. I meet other people needs, even when I don't see them coming. God, I begin to thank God, bless you, even when I don't see the blessing. I say, God, bless these people of God. Bless them, Lord, so they'll bless me so I can bless somebody. You see, the blessing is like a boomerang. It comes from you to me, from me to somebody else. It got to go that way because that's the way God set it up. You bless the man of God. You bless the woman of God. You bless the house of God so the house of God can be a blessing. That's the word of God. He said, bring your tithes and offer into the storehouse so there will be meat in my house. Do you understand? It has to be like a boomerang. It goes around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, but thank the Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I feel the fire of God so strong. I feel the presence of the Lord so strong right now. Glory to God. I just feel it right now. I don't sing too much, even though I used to sing in the world, sing in the reggae band, but I don't sing too much now, you know. But I had to do a little bit this morning just to set the atmosphere for me. You know, sometimes you got to sing. You have to sing yourself out of the heartaches. You got to sing yourself out of the sadness. Mm-hmm. You got to sing yourself out of the despair. You got to sing yourself out of your lack, mm-hmm. and sing yourself into your plenty. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to sing yourself into your plenty. If you keep singing yourself into your lack, guess where you will be? You'll always stay in your lack because all you're singing about is your lack. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have this. But I got to start singing myself into my plenty. I got to sing myself into love. I got to sing myself into patience. I got to sing myself through my long suffering. I got to sing myself. I got to sing myself. Listen, 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 listen. You can't wait for somebody to come and sing you out of your sadness. You got to get up and sing in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout this morning. It don't matter. I don't feel like I want to shout, but I got to shout. Lord Jesus, you know, sometimes you just feel like you got to take off and run. Yeah. Because you got to run. Lakeisha, I just feel it. You just got to run out of your problem and run into your solution. Lord, sometimes you just got to get up and run. Sometimes you just got to go to the bathroom, leave your desk and go to the bathroom. Jesus! Just go in the bathroom and just shout out his name. People say, what's going on in there? I'm just calling on Jesus. When they come and knock on the bathroom door, I just calling on Jesus for me. I know I can't call out from the way I want to call for him at my desk, but this is my private place. I can go in the bathroom and just call up for Jesus. Sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just got to do that for yourself, not for nobody else. People are going to think you're crazy. Sometimes I just have to stop like I'm driving my car, and I just lift my hands, and I said, Jesus! You know why? Because when I call on him, something happened on the inside of me, not on the outside. Walk around and acting, looking at me like I'm crazy, but I know inside something is turning on the inside. The glory that's inside of me begins to bubble. Do you hear what I'm saying? It begins to bubble because that's what happened. If you just be like a pig and just wallowing in your mud, that's what you're going to have on your mud. But sometimes you got to get up and be like a giraffe. My God, you got to be like a kangaroo. You just got to jump. You got to shake yourself and shake the mud off of you, right? Because I'm not going to stay in this mud all the time. I'm not going to be running on empty for too long. Glory to God. I'm going to look at my tank, and when I look at my tank, my lid is going to be all the way over to the green. It's not going to be in the red. Lord God, because I'm shaking off all of that lacking. I'm not lacking anything, because when I'm shaking, my God, I can see my plenty coming. When I shake, I can see my plenty coming. You got to start seeing stuff. You got to see God doing stuff in your life. You got to see God changing the situation and stop saying, telling yourself it's not going to work, because the Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that find it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what happened? You got to start speaking life over your situation, but we keep speaking death to our situation. Oh, my Lord, I'm not making enough money. I'm never going to make enough money. My boyfriend don't treat me right. My husband don't treat me right. My girlfriend, my wife don't treat me right. And so on. All you guys, I can't. I'm doing and doing. Yes. You're just like the man that goes to the altar and say he will, but it ends up he won't. He said he do, but he don't. But you got to get to a place that you stop saying that don't and I won't, and start saying you will. Oh my God, and you do. You got to get to that place and say it's happening now. I see it happening. Glory to God. Even though you don't see it really, what Elijah told the man, his son, he said, just go on there, because I hear the sound of rain. I heard the sound of rain, and a man said, go over and look to the seaside. Just look over to the sea. Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's a revelation in itself. I'm telling you. But I thank the Lord for Keisha. I thank the Lord for Deaconess Keisha. I thank the Lord for how the Lord is raining her up and filling her and just giving her the patience and the know-how to just trust him. Because I know some of you all on this line right now, and people that are listening by way of Blog Talk Radio, internet satellite system, if half of you all, not even Lord, thank you Lord, if a third of you all on this line had to face what she was facing and still facing, you wouldn't make it. You would not make it. When you get the information that your life is hanging on at death's door, this thing and that thing and all these things going on wrong in your body, and then God can look. She said, okay, I'm trusting God. I know what the doctor said, but I'm going to pray. Because I'm trusting my God. I'm trusting my healer. I'm trusting my deliverer. I'm trusting my supplier. Folk got more than her. Listen to me. Folk have more than this woman of God. And they're jealous over her. You know what they're jealous? The jealous of the Spirit of God, because when you truly get the Spirit of God, it's more than all the tea in China. It's more than all the gold in Fort Knox Bank when you get the love of Jesus in your heart. She does things for people. Same people want to kill her, want to destroy her vision. And she does stuff for them all the time. Why? Because of who she is and who God is in her life. She does. They say, every time we come on the line, Apostle is lifting up Keisha. I'm not lifting up Keisha. I love Keisha daily. She's my spiritual daughter. I love her. Not because she give and don't give and whatever she do, however God move on her life. But I love her because of the love that's inside her. I love her because of the one that's inside of her. Money don't make me love anybody. I love you because the spirit that's inside you, the spirit that's inside of you that is connected to my spirit. You hear what I'm saying? The spirit that's connected to you. I love Christina the same way. I love Evangelist Baxter the same way. I love Sherita the same way. I love Kiet the same way. I love Evangelist Campbell the same way. I love you all the same way. Not because of finances, but because of the spirit that's inside of you. And I need some money. Because the Lord told me last night, he said, look, I give you a mouthpiece. I'm telling the truth. Sometimes, Evangelist Campbell, I have to ask the Lord, is that you? I got to. And Lord said, look, I need about $250 right now. I need about $250 right now to help me out with this convocation. Because this car thing here that just messed up with them wheels and messed up my money. from a convocation. And the Lord showed me a couple of things last night. And that's what I need. And I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. But you can't let, because you need this or you need that, or say you want this or want that, stop you from praising God. You got to praise God even when the doctor come and give you a bad report. Even when the doctor said, well, your daughter's laying in the hospital and she's dying. You got to praise God. See, there's two things can happen. She can come out of the coma and run around and praise God, or she can go home with him and praise him there. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
Two things can happen. She either going to praise him here on this earth, or she going to praise him in heaven. Glory to God. Because I'm covering her with the spirit that's on me. You got to understand this. I know there's only one way from bottom, and that's up. There's only one way from down, and that's up. And when you get so far down, I always tell you all, because you look at me dressing, coming to church, and you say, well, I don't believe it. I lived in Salvation Army for 11 months after driving a $58,000 vehicle. I had a $58,000 vehicle. I lost the vehicle. I lost the house. Man, if I start telling you. But I start keep praising God. Because sometimes God, Keisha, you're going to preach. You got enough time. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we have to lose some things to get us in a place of focus. Do you hear me? We ministered about focus last couple weeks ago. We have to lose some things in order to bring our into the right perspective so we can see clearly. Because sometimes, listen to me, people of God, sometimes you have so much stuff here that you don't have focus. We don't want to praise God. You know what? Because the man treat me good. Every time I want to be with him, he's there. Oh, my kids, they all right. Mama this, daddy this, and all this stuff. Job working fine, all this stuff. Car running right. I don't have to worry. So what? We don't want to praise God. So what? He starts to squeeze us a little bit. He starts to squeeze the juice out of the lemon. We are becoming a lemon. Squeeze the juice out of us. And what happened is, after we start to get squeezed, guess what I'm doing? It drives me into. Listen, he allowed the devil to just mess with you. God would just allow the devil to mess with you. He allowed it. He was stopping. And because even the devil go ask the God, he said, God, can I test your servant Joe for a little bit? Just let me test him. And see if he wouldn't cuss you. God, he got to go ask God, because you know, as a servant of God, you're a child of God, washed in the blood of God. The devil cannot come and test you without asking permission. Do you know that? He cannot test you. So when he testing you and you're going through all the changes that you're going through, say, well, I know the Lord allowed him to test me. Maybe I need to do something different to what I'm doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Maybe I need to get my focus right. Maybe I need to get my focus right. So when I get my focus right, then I realize that things start to change. Listen, if you can understand. You would understand that with me today, I don't have one dime, not one dime. But because, listen, Evangelist, I think you need to hear this, because you, I feel you right there. I'm feeling you right there, Evangelist Campbell. I'm feeling you right there. Listen. I don't have a dime, but because my focus is right with Jesus, I feel like my pocket is full. I feel like my pocket money's flowing up my pocket right, rolling up my pocket right now. Because, see, I remember when I was walking around with $10,000 in my pocket, $5,000, $3,000, $2,000, $1,000 in my pocket when I was running my business. And guess what? I was the most miserable somebody you ever met. Scared, looking over my shoulders, nervous. Why? Because my focus was not right. The thing that I was doing, I couldn't focus. So God had to move some things and some people and places and things out of my life so I can get focused. I'm just saying this for all of us on this line. This is not, because I preached the other night on the line, and one woman says she think I was preaching to her. I never met the woman before. I never met the woman before. The woman told her husband, I think he was preaching to me. All he was saying to me. How he know this? I said, how he know all this about me? I never met a woman in California. I'm way over here in Boston. But we thank the Lord for you, Keisha. We know that the Lord has already anointed the word. And we know he's anointed your lips. You know he anointed your ears and your eyes. You will see what God is showing you. You will hear what he is saying to you, and you will speak what God tells you to speak. Take your time and do what thus says the Lord, so that the word that comes out of your belly, oh God, will be like a sword, that it will cut us, that it will cut us, oh my God, that it will cause us to bleed internal and external. And as you release the word of God, I pray that the word of God that flowed your belly, my God, will bring change to our lives, that we will begin to focus on the things of God. And I now declare that you are ready. And I'm out of the way. So go ahead and do what this says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy to be praised. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I want to give honor to God, who is my rock, my fortress, my strong tower, who is my light. I want to give honor to Apostle Calendar, to Lady Nancy Calendar, to my local bishops, to all the evangelist ministers and the people of Christ on the line. Most heavenly and precious Father, Lord God, I ask that you move with me this morning, Lord God. Lord, have your way in this message this morning. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we will receive, Lord God. Lord, as I am, you are my mouthpiece this morning, Lord God. Speak to your people this morning, Lord God, like never before. For you are mighty, you are able, and I cannot do this without you, Lord God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, this morning my topic is going to be love is more than a good feeling. I'm going to repeat it again. My topic on this morning is love is more than a good feeling. I'm asking everyone to please stand with me to John chapter 3, verse 16, a familiar scripture that we all know. We all have heard at one point or another. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And this morning we're talking about love. It is more than a good feeling. And this particular scripture gives us the foundation of a model, an example, the prototype of what love is. And that's what God gives his only begotten Son, that he loves us so much. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, the World English Dictionary defines love as to have a great attachment to an affection or to love passion, to have a passionate desire, longing and feeling for. But if we dig a little deeper, we will find the biblical meaning for love as the Bible expresses. And that definition is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another, as the fatherly concern of God for mankind, brotherly concern for others, and a person's admiration of God. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And it reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who do not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfect in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now we're going to go down to verses 16 through 19. And we have known and believed that, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God is in him. Verse 17 reads, love has been perfect among us in the way we may have boldness in the judgment. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And fear means to be frightened, alarmed, or terrified. But John points out that people fear because they anticipate pain, torture, or punishment. Yet, he argues that the person who stands in a relationship of love with God needs not to be afraid of God. If a person is afraid of God, we do not yet have a mature relationship with him. As love for God increases, fear is cast out. The faith is empathy. Fear is driven away. John concluded his thought with a profound statement regarding the believer's relationship to God. We love him because he loved us first. God's love is primary. Our love is merely a response to his eternal love for us. Now, I want to go to verses 20 through 21. And it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he loves his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And I'm going to repeat this verse again. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And that scripture reminds us, we cannot play with God. We as children of God cannot be hypocrites and say that we love God but we hate our neighbor. Because the commandment that he gives, that if we love God, we have to love our brother or sister also. And if it's true love, no matter what they do to us, no matter what they say, no matter how we feel like they ill-treated us or disrespected us or cast us away or disregarded us, we still have to love with the love of Christ, not the love of our flesh. And that's where the good feeling part comes in. We have to love with the love of Christ and not just our emotion or our pride, but we have to love with the love of Christ. Please go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. And on this morning, we are talking about love. Is it more than a good feeling? Love is more than a good feeling.
My Lord.
In the verse reads, husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of blood by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies. And it says their own wives. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And Paul's exhortation is equally clear to husbands that they are to love their wives. In the same manner in which Christ sacrificially loved the church, husbands must not be bitter or harsh with their wives. Christ's love for his church is presently manifesting the work of atonement and sanctification, so that he might in the end times present her as a pure and spotless bride. Returning to the marriage relationship, Paul explains that husband should love his wife as his own body because the two are actually one. The word body is used here as elsewhere to refer to the whole person. God prescribes that marriage provides a picture of the ultimate and eternal love between Christ and his church. Now I want to share with you four important characteristics about love. The first one is mature love is a union under the condition of preserving one's integrity and one's individuality. There's a difference between superficial love and mature love. Mature love does not lose itself in another person, but rather fuses with a person while still maintaining a sense of individuality. When a couple is so engrossed in each other that they do not strive to improve themselves, but they are only obsessed with serving or dominating their partner, this is dependence, not love. The second is, love is the active concern for the life and the growth of which we love. True mature love is one in which the loved person is not possessed. If you truly love your partner, your child, your friend, your brother and sister in Christ, then you sincerely wish for them what they want for themselves, whether it's a better job, advanced degree, or a desire to pursue something new in their life. A good relationship is therefore one in which each partner takes an active interest in learning about other individuals and talking to them about their future goals and desires. And that's just having fellowship, you know, learning about your brothers and sisters, meeting them at their needs, even with the young people today, asking them, you know, how's school going? What do you want to do? And if they say, hey, I want to be a doctor or I want to be a lawyer, you encourage them to do those things because that is a show a way of showing your love. The third thing is, if an individual is able to love productively, he loves himself too. If he can only love others, he cannot love at all. And that just reminds us of how can we say we love others and we don't love ourselves. We have to love ourselves first. We're not to the point where we're broken. And when we get into relationships or come in contact with people in our lives, that they use us and break us down even more because we haven't loved ourselves first. You know, when we talk about love, we often talk about giving up and sacrificing. And that's true because mature love can only come from a loving orientation that does not distinguish between self and others. This is to say, you must work on a healthy, loving relationship to self before you can find within yourself the power to love others. And the fourth thing that I wanted to share was to love somebody is not just a strong feeling. As our topic says, love is more than a good feeling. It is a decision, it is a judgment, and it is a promise. True mature love is the type of love that lasts. It is not the properly conceived slogan that we hear all the time, falling in love, but it's rather standing in love. If we conceive of love as not a feeling but rather an action, then we can actually focus on improving the way we love others and the way we love ourselves. And I'm going to repeat that again. If we understand, if we grasp of love as not a feeling but rather an action, then we can actually focus on and improve the way we love others and the way we love ourselves. And a lot of people, when you talk about love, they initially think the first thing that comes to mind is a feeling, an emotion, and not the action of love, how God portrays in the Bible. Please go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Since you have purified your soul and obeyed the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, in the Amplified version in the Bible, it reads, since by your obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your heart for the sincere affection of the brethren, seeing that you love one another fervently. And when we talk about fervently, we're talking about having or showing great emotions or zeal from a pure heart. And then it goes on to read, you have been regenerated, born again, revived, renewed, not form of a mortal origin, like how we were born today, the way we came into the world, but from one that is immoral. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. You have been regenerated, born again, revived, renewed, made over, not from a mortal origin, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and everlasting word of the Lord. So I ask you this morning, I ask all of us, even myself, is our love more than a good feeling? Throughout Scripture, we are assured of God's love and reminded that the proof of God's boundless love is that Christ died for us. But love is not simply meant to make us feel good, rather to motivate us to respond in ways that make us emulate his goodness. Love sometimes demands that we act in a very practical and even uncomfortable way. Love is not optional. In 1 John 3:11, verses 23 and 4 and 11, it states we are commanded to love one another. Love is not demonstrated in 1 John 3 and 14, 4 and 7, and verse 20, it states, our love for God is shown to the degree we show love to others. Love is active and act of the will. In 1 John 3 and 17, we are commanded to do the act of love. If we shut our eyes to the needs of others, our love for God is called into question. Love is responsive. In 1 John 4 and 19, we are able to love because we have been and are loved by God. This love causes us to respond lovingly to others. Please go with me to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. And it reads, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. And this scripture is an allusion to a mother and the child of her womb. The Lord's loving concern for his people goes even beyond that of a mother that is devoted for her child. And, you know, as parents or the women on the line as mothers, you know, when we have our children, and whether we breastfeed or bottle feed, we have that bond, that connection. We don't want anything to love, anything to happen to our child because we love our child so much. You know, we have joy, you know, we can't stop looking at them. We can't stop loving them. We can't stop kissing on them. You know, we're so excited because we have so much love as a mom towards our child, as a parent. And, you know, this scripture is evidence that God's love is beyond that. It goes beyond that. And that's how devoted he is as a God to us. That the bond of a mother and a newborn and a child is so strong. But our bond and the love that God gives us is even stronger than that. I want to go to Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creating thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And my God, the love that the Lord has for us is so powerful. You know, the scripture runs down a list of things that nothing should separate us from the love of God. Even our trials and tribulations, you know, when we go through storms or we're having a bad day, we feel like, oh, walls are crumbling stuff is caving in on us. We don't know how to make a way. Some people get depressed and they get anxiety and fear sets in and they give up. You know, they'll be coming to church faithfully, but as soon as they meet a hard rock or they meet a wall, they give up. I'm not coming to church anymore, or I don't feel like praying today, or I'm not going to sing during praise and worship, or I'm not going to participate. I'm not even going to hear the word. I'm just going to stay home. But this scripture reminds us that nothing, nothing should separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Because he made the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his only begotten son for us. And he didn't have to. You know, God's grace and mercy is sufficient. But that just shows how much God loves us. So if God can make the ultimate sacrifice, who are we to let anything separate us from the love of God? Please go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3. Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And God has never ceased to love his people, and all that he has done for us has been rooted in his love. The Hebrew word translates love, sometimes indicates that love initiates relationships, loving kindness. And it refers to God's steadfast love or his covenant of loyalty. His love is so, God, we serve such a mighty God, a marvelous God, a promising, a perfect God, that he says in his word that he loves us with an everlasting love, not a temporary love, unconditional love, a sometime love, a once-in-a-while love, a once-a-month love, but he serves us with an everlasting love. His love goes on forever and ever, more than we can understand, more than we know, more than we can comprehend, that his love is everlasting. And that's the only real way of love, God's love. And our topic this morning is love is more than a good feeling. Please go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sins. In God's love, Jesus' love is a unique love. It focuses on the nature of the one loving rather than on the permit of the one being loved. God's nature is self-giving love, which always acts in the best interest of his creation, you and I, even of his enemies. You know, God is so good that it says here he demonstrates his own love towards us. Even when we're sinners, even when we're not walking right, when we're not doing right, when we're not talking right, when we have fallen short, when we don't even acknowledge him, when we don't even know him, when we don't even praise him. My God, that is awesome. That is a love that is unconditional. That is a love that is greater than every love. He still loves us. It says he still has his love towards us even when we're sinners. And that was why, you know, Christ died for us. Because he wanted to make sure that we can experience His true love, that we would draw closer to Him. Now I want to talk about the health benefits of love, what it would do for us. You know, and the opposite of love is hate. But when you have love in you, when it's not just speaking of love, but actually demonstrating the love, actually partaking from our hearts, because if it's not from our hearts, then it's not genuine. God's love, it will bolster your immune system. It will help you to live longer. It will improve your heart's health, reduce feelings of pain, and improve your mental well-being. And that is just from being examples and demonstrating love. Just love in itself, that's what love can do for you. You know, the health benefits of what love can do for you. And we're walking around miserably in despair, depressed, beat down and beat up, frustrated and disgusted. It does the opposite. We get sick. You know, we have high blood pressure. You know, we don't feel well. We don't have any energy. We can't do anything for ourselves. We don't want to come out of bed. We don't have, it's just a whole negative thing. But when you have the love of God, true love, it's a wonderful thing. Please go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And God's essential nature is love. And love is his will for us, his people. We as children of God are not only renounced sin, but we should also demonstrate there are no verbs by taking on the very nature of God. Love is the preeminent Christian virtue. It is the first fruit and the test of true faith. Love is the most striking evidence whether or not someone is in Christ. The love we have for others provides the assurance that we have moved from the way of darkness and death to the way of light and life. And that's what he's talking about when he says in the scripture, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And if we love the brethren, and it states that it provides reassurance that we are no longer in darkness, but we are walking in the way of light. The Lord's marvelous light. And that's what his love does for us. Please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. My God. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, I could remove mountains but have not love. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my blood to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And this scripture is talking about, you know, if we're not doing stuff with true love, with God's love, if we're just doing stuff to show, feeding the poor and giving away and bragging and boasting what we do and how we do it and when we do it, when we do stuff to seek attention because we want somebody to call our name or give us kudos or give us a trophy or a pat on the back, it's not true love, and it profits us nothing. It means nothing to God. God is not pleased with that. Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is the part will be done away. Because, you know, the love fail part is really ringing tried and true, rings out to me. Love never fails. And then it goes on to say whether there are tongues, they will cease. When people say stuff to you and it's not of love, you know, or they put on a show for you or ask for you, it's that all that will pass away. But true love, the love of God, never fails. Love is the essential undergirding for the proper management of any spiritual gift. In both Hebrew and Greek, agape words translate love, or action words indicating cautious acts on behalf of a beloved. However, biblical love seems to demand going beyond merely a particular behavior to include a certain inner attitude, that is, a positive inner response. While several Greek words describe specific forms of love, the Greek word agape most expressed Christ-like, selfless love, unselfish, loyal, benevolent concerns for the well-being of another is called by Paul the greatest gift of all. Christian love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, a virtue of godly living. The attributes of love reflect both feelings and loving acts. True love is characterized as patient and slow to anger, kind and gentle to all, unselfish and giving, truthful and honest, hopeful and encouraging, enduring without end. And I'm sorry, the word is pronounced agape. Biblical love is not envious, proud, self-centered, rude, or provoking, as we read in verses 4 through 5. Without love, the gift of the Spirit are seen worthless, and the fruit of the Spirit is incomplete. Christian love is eternal. While all else fails, love never fails. Love never fails. It is a permanent, unconditional concern for others that result from the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, rather than from human effort or desire. Please go with me to John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You know, a commandment, something that we should always live by, is that God is telling us, Christ is telling us, that we have to love one another as he has loved us. Because he first loved us. We're never going to know true love until we come to him, because he is the author of love. He is the creator of love. He is the manufacturer of love. And to show how great his love is for us, there's no other love greater than his love, because he laid down his life for us. For us, as his friends, his children. The Amplified Version states, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends." And you and I both know some people have their friends. They wouldn't take a bullet for us, but Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice when he died for our sins. And for our final scripture, please go with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. And this morning we are talking about love is more than a good feeling. I'll say it again. Love is more than a good feeling. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. And that right there is a to the point, direct scripture. When we have hatred, it causes strife, confusion, contentment, jealousy, bitterness, all that. But when we have true love, when you say you love your brother or sister, you shouldn't be jealous of them or show hatred towards them or undermine them or plot against them. Because when we have true love, it covers all sin. And that just, you know, if we dig deeper into love, you know, it's in this situation, love is strength, it's might, and it's power, because it covers all. It's a blanket. You know, it's a covering. It shelters us. Love is a wonderful thing. You know, it's true that we hear on the news and see on TV or see on the internet or Facebook that love is formidable and thoroughly proven with commercial engines. They advertise where people will do almost anything for the promise of love. This is the thought behind many large enterprises like greeting cards, stuffed animals, box candies, you know, dressmakers, designers, florists, because on February 14th, Valentine's Day, they celebrate what the world defines as love, a Cupid and an arrow. That's not real love. And then the government, you know, plays on that, creating this holiday where you can get, where people get that mindset that love is about this one day. You only show your affection this one day out of the year. People get so excited about buying flowers and candy and chocolate and going out to eat and wining and dining their loved ones or their significant others. But that is not true love. And that is not the way we should be defining love. Because the love that God talks about is everlasting. This love, that's a word, you know, tries to condition us to believe or introduces to us or becomes a way of life for some, is temporary. It's not permanent. It's not everlasting. It's not. They didn't make an ultimate sacrifice and died on the cross for our sins. They're concerned about money in their pockets. And the true source of love is God. The ultimate model of love is Christ. And the manifestation of love by us as believers is for us to love others. The extent of God's love for us was the sacrifice of life, his only begotten Son. And the result of love is the abiding presence of God and life. And I had found a saying online that reads, deeper love down to our very soul. It's there. We have an anchor who will not let us go. The Lord who calms the seas is the one who sees us through. He has given us a deeper love. In my conclusion, as children of God, we should strive to support and help a brother or sister in need, even if it's a complete stranger. We should desire to share happiness with others, practice patience, and offer kindness. Love is not a definition of God. But God is infinitely more. But God is the definition of love. Without him, love does not exist. Biblical love, agape, is active yet selfless. Though most graphically and fully illustrated in God's love for us, agape, love is also God's pattern for our love for him and for our love for one another. Its basis is God's deliberate, active, sacrificial giving of his Son for our redemption. To be loved by God means that he has set his sight on us and is actively wooing us towards himself at all times. God's love is self-sufficient. sudden, indestructible, undeserved, compassionate, constant, immeasurable, voluntary, and a gift. He did not begin loving at the cross. Nor will he love us more tomorrow than he does today. There is nothing we can do, think, or say that will change his love, because there are no surprises for God. He knows us totally and loves us anyway. The goal of God's love is to have us with him throughout eternity. He presented and made possible the accomplishment of this goal through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And I ask the question this morning, are we loving based on a good feeling, or are we loving based on the commandment of God that we love one another as Christ has loved us? I hope and pray that this message moves you in a way where we transform our lives for loving as a good feeling, but experiencing and demonstrating the love of God. Apostle?
Thank you so much, daughter, for that powerful word of God. Love is more than a good feeling. And I thank God for, you know, really touching us on today. Sometimes we get so caught up in that moment that we forget that the moment is just a moment. It's just a moment. And God, I believe that God wants us to recognize that, because so many of us are carried away with just a moment. A moment of time, a couple of seconds, a minute. We forget that God wants to give us more than just a moment. He wants us to give. His intention is to bring us, draw us into eternity with him. You know, not just a moment of time, a moment of pleasure. So I one of the things that you said that was so profound that I always say, and we always say that know the word of God, that love is not what love says, but love is what love does. Love is an action. It's an action. You can tell me you love me all day long, but I'm hurt. I need some action. I need you to help me from where I am to get to where I need to be. And folk will say to you and know that they can help you. They're in position, because that's the reason why God has brought those people into your path, because they can help you, either spiritual, physical, or financially. They can help you, and God has brought them into your path, and or brought you into their path so they can help you from where you are. But what happened is, folk, and you preach that word and teach that word so well this morning, is that folk tend to tell you, oh, I just love you, I just love you. But they love you because, no, at the particular time, you are not needing them to help you. Hallelujah. But just to get to one place in your life circumstances that you need a helping hand, and call on them. Just call on them, Lord, just call on them. And you will see the love, because there will be no way to find. They always have an excuse. I got to go this place. I got to do this thing. This thing is happening. Next thing is happening. And on and on and on and on. But they deny you all the time. This is for me, for me. This is why a lot of times I don't even reach out to some people. I don't reach out to some people to ask their hand. Because why? I already know from my spirit and from my experience they're going to tell me no, even though I know they can help me. You're the same way, you know. Some people you're not going to reach out to because they're not going to be there. You might just need a prayer to get through, just a prayer. And you know what? They're not going to call you back to pray with you. They have an excuse what they're doing, what they're going to do, and what they have to do, and what they didn't do, instead of just praying for you. Just as simple as a prayer. But I thank the Lord for you. Lord, I just thank you for this powerful word, this woman of God, that you are You are raining up into your presence, Lord, into your glory, God, that, Lord, we all teach and preach differently, but all of us are part of the body, and all of us are filled with your spirit, oh, God. I thank you, Lord, that how you poured out through her, God, that she took her time to take us to that place that we understand very clearly. There's no if or buts about it. She made it very clear, oh, God, your servant did, oh, God, by the spirit of God, that love is more than a good feeling. Lord, feelings come and go just like emotions. They just come and go. That's all they are. They come and go. But when we really love, we do something. We take action to help each other. Lord, fill her back now. Lord, I know that she is feeling what her husband is going through because I know she loves her husband dearly. And if her husband just lost her, his father, Lord, she is there for him. And even at this moment of loss, Lord, she has stepped from behind the curtain and stepped out on stage to give you glory. God, she did not stay buckled down and say, well, I just can't bring a word today because I have to keep my phone open for my husband. And I have to make sure I talk to him every second, every minute. But, Lord, she stepped out. And, Father, because that she has stepped out and brought your word as you gave it to her, Lord, to give to your people, I ask you even right now, O God, that you would refill her right now. Lord, fill her with the oil of heaven, O God, that her cup will overflow, O God, that as overflow it will run over on your people, O God, as it already done this morning. But refill her this morning for her next her next visit with your people, oh God. I pray, oh God, that even now that you would keep her husband safe while he's in Florida taking care of things that need to be taken care of with his father going home. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give them traveling mercy. And, Lord, if she has to go, Lord, give her the okay to go. Lord, if she has to stay, Lord, give her the words that she can relate from here to her husband, that he'll know what to say and what to do, oh God. I pray, Father God, that you continue to watch over her unborn baby. Lord, give her the strength from inside out, oh God, to carry this baby to course, oh God, and let there be no alterations in the growth of the baby, oh God. I pray, Father God, that you do what only you can do, Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for your word. And we thank you for your servant. And for this, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. The line is open now for anyone that has a word that they want to share. Or if you want to dance, if you want to sing, or you want to shout what's going on in your spirit, you want to let some of your fire just run over this line, just let it go. It is your time.
Good morning, Apostle.
Don't everybody share at the same time. The line is open.
Morning, Apostle. Can you hear me? My Bluetooth acting up. Morning, Apostle.
I can hear you. Sure.
Okay. Wasn't sure. Thank you for the word. It made me really think because just this week, my brother's girlfriend called me and said, Sherita, I have something to ask you. And she pulled up the same scripture that you did. It is 1 John 4:20. And she said, how can Patrick love God if he doesn't love you? I said, you're going to have to ask Patrick that. Because as I said, I made it a declaration, and I'm no longer going to let people live rent-free inside of me. You either pay rent or you get out. And quite frankly, I don't need you living inside of me, so you get out. But it made me really think back because you have to learn that you really need to forgive, forget, and go on. Because when you harbor it and you hold on to it, it only causes nothing but health issues on you. It brings sorrow. It brings depression. It brings everything else that you don't want in your life and don't need in your life. And all that time that you're down in your sorrow, you're missing all the joys that God has for you. So it really made me sit back, look, and think and evaluate what's going on in my life, what's going on around, because you have to say, thank you, Lord, for helping me out. Thank you, Lord, for surrounding me with people to help me, to help get me out of my pity party that I was playing in. I'm grateful for it, and I will always tell you, thank you for helping to get me out of my pity party, because there was no sense of sitting in there. It wasn't going to help me grow. But I have to say thank God, and to him be all the glory for everything that he's doing. And I thank you for letting God use you the way that he is. I thank you very much for the word. And I know this is a very touching and strong word for Sister Carmen. And I know she got it. I know she got it this morning. So I just want to say thank you, and everyone stay in coverage, and may we all have a blessed day today.
Thank you so much, Sarita. We, Lord, we bless you. We bless the spirit that's inside of you, allowing the Lord to just touch you from day to day. You know, we are all growing, and we are growing the way the Lord wants us to grow. It's very important that we stay abreast of the Word of God. The Word of God is what would change each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Very, very important. You know, a lot of times people say, well, why? I know it because they don't tell me, but I know by the Spirit, because the Bible says that he is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes I know people wonder, why do I share some of the things that I share? Because folk need to hear some things that they're asking in their spirit. You know, so because that we are spiritually inclined, if you have your spirit tuned, you'll hear what they're asking. And people don't want to come out and ask the question on certain topics, because they don't want to feel like, make you know, well, I'm dealing with this or dealing with that. So I release my heart over the line so that people can hear from God what they really have an answer for. We all dealing with stuff. All of us dealing with stuff today. All of us. And if we would just allow God to heal us, to fix these things, they will be fixed. But the moment I shared a little interlude in a sermon that I preached a couple of days ago, last week, I think, that if we can fix something, God will not fix it. But the moment that we get to that place that we realize that we can't fix it, whatever that situation is, guess what happens? God steps in the picture. And he begins to work on it. We realize that things begin to get better. This is what happened. I'd say, God, here it is. I can't fix this stuff. I don't know how. I've been trying every way I can to fix this, make this thing right. But I'm coming up short all the time. And the Lord says, okay, son, just turn it over in my hand. And the moment I give it to him and turn away, I start experiencing things at a different level happening for me, because no longer am I trying to fix it, but I'm allowing God to fix it. We find that most people will come, we counsel people, and people come to us for counseling, but they want me to tell them what they want to hear, but not what God wants to say, or not what God is saying. And the moment I tell them what God is saying, I just experienced that. They'll get mad with me because I'm saying what God say, and they say, well, I don't believe it's from God. I said, well, okay. And I'll tell you the truth. I have to tell God, Lord, I'm not going to be messing with them people anymore, because if they don't want to receive from you, I'm not giving them. I'm not going to spend my time giving it to them. I'm going to give it to somebody who's going to receive it. Because one thing and for sure, and two things for certain, Keisha, you know this, I'm not going to speak a word out of my mouth that I don't believe come from God. Because I spent a long time, before you hear me release a word,
I take a long time for a release. I got to go over it and go over it. And I question God, say, this is you, this is you, this is you, this is you, till I hear God say, yes, son, this is me. Release it, and I'm going back it. And when I release it, God backs it, and the people see the fruits of what God is speaking. This was a powerful word. And those of you that can hear the voice of God, maybe you heard what God is saying. Don't be used by anyone. I don't care who it is. Don't be used by anyone. Time out for letting people use you for what they want. Time out.
Amen.
You are called.
Amen.
Allow God to use you in your calling. Folk will use you, and when they finish with you, they will turn you over to the wolves, to the dogs. They don't have no more need for you. They will use you and abuse you. I've experienced that myself. And listen, I ain't telling you that, that I ain't know. I experienced it for my own self. And I get on my little pity party and I cry, Lord, why did you allow this happen? God said, I didn't allow you, Lord, how it happened. Because I show you what not to do, but you didn't listen to me. I put people in your path to talk to you and show you and help you to grow, but you wouldn't listen to them because I was speaking through them, but you wouldn't listen. You decide you still want to do your own stuff, and guess what happened? That's why you're reaping what you're reaping. God told me that. And I said, okay, God, I'm so sorry. If you just help me know to get back on track, Lord, I'll follow your directions. And God pulled me up out the mud. And that's why you see I can shout and I can scream with 2 cents. I can shout and scream with 10 pennies. It doesn't matter. Because I know God has a blessing. I know that he's going to do it. And I'm trusting him to do it. Today is a mighty day. Not because she's my spiritual daughter. She know I love her unconditionally. And it's not a financial thing. It's not a car thing. It's not a truck thing. I just love her because I love her spirit. I know that she's honest. She's not going to play around with your head. She's not going to play with your head. You know, she's not going to play with your head. And that's why I call her all the time, because I know what God is doing. I know what God's doing. I want to open the line again. I got my fireball on the line. She's on the line. She's just over there. I can see her face and with that fire burning her. She's going to come on Tuesday. Don't forget that tomorrow afternoon when we come from church, from our incessant prayer, we'll be coming on at 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Trustee Kid is going to bring a word on tomorrow. I got to look. I wrote that stuff. I got about 15 books here right now. I got to ask God to show me which book I wrote down the top of it that she gave me. But glory to God. She will be coming on at 12 o'clock tomorrow. We will be here. And we are looking forward for you to you coming to be with us. You know, God is just an awesome time, God, with us. You know, we lost all the stuff that on Blog Talk really the other day. We had to delete some stuff because the satellite system was messing up and we couldn't come on, but we are on and it seems to be working very well now. Did that one Saturday, but 3 or 4 times it did it. But we hope that it stay together because so many people, I just had a call just a minute ago, I couldn't answer it, from India. So many people are just loving what God is doing through us. Not what we're doing, because we can't do anything. I don't care if you think you preach good or teach good, you can't do nothing if God don't show up. You know, you might run off and think you're so this and so that, but I'm telling you, I can't teach or preach if God don't show up. That's why I invite him every morning. While you are still sleeping or while you are at your job, I'm inviting God to come and let his presence be felt here on this line, and not only here in America, but all over the world. I bless the Lord for you all. I know we're going to get a street word on tomorrow. But here, Evangelist Baxter, come on in. I see you out there. I'm going to call you in. Come on in.
God bless you, Pastor Calendar. I heard what you said. The fireball is on the line. You're a fireball, too. So I thank the Lord for all of you. Sister Keisha, I love you. You're so encouraging. That was a beautiful message that you brought, because love is an action word. And I heard Pastor Calendar said that, don't let people use you. That's right. And after they do that, they don't want to be bothered with you. So But you know what? God is good. I love people. I'm a people's person, as Pastor Calendar said. We have to love people right where they're at. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a blessing. Because, I mean, just because like Pastor always says, we have a lot of flaws, too. We got stuff that we need to work on ourselves, so we need to help the others along the way. I always say,
right.
I don't want my living to be in vain, Sister Keisha. I don't want my praying to be in vain and my preaching to be in vain. If I can help a soul along the way, my living, my preaching, my singing will not be in vain. And not just coming to the house to shout, but what do you do after you shout in the house? What are you going to do after that? Because people are looking, they're hurting. You know, people are hurting out here. And we just have to show love, compassionate, because God is love. I mean, before I got saved, I was full of love. I was just full of the devil, too, but but still. But God just reversed it. He just reversed
That's
it.
Right.
And I love it. I love it. And my daughter and my son-in-law said, Mother, you talk to everybody. I said, yeah, because when you're 6 feet under, you can't talk to nobody. You already know how Mother is.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to make my call and election sure, like Pastor said. It's not what you own down here. It's where you're going to spend eternity afterwards, because you don't even know this stuff here.
That's right.
As you always said, wear it loosely. So we thank God for your word, and I just thank God for all of you. And I'm looking forward to coming to that house and shout on Sunday, Pastor Calder.
That's right.
And,
You can run with Kiet.
And I want to see Sister Carmen. You have wanted to meet Sister Carmen. God is thanking the Lord for you. Continue to pray. I saw my daughter went to go see Shantae yesterday, and she was crying. I know she was crying because she's so emotional, because she's seen her one way and she sees her another way, you know, because she's seen stuff on, you know, she haven't seen it in a while. That says that's, I just told her, God got her in control.
That's right.
God got it all. So just pray for her. She's coming out.
She's coming out. But you gotta look and see that a lot of people are going to be drawn closer to God to see when they come, especially the young family members, when they that in the area, and even when they come and they visit Shantae, see, God is keeping her. He's not going to the enemy to take her out of this world. And the death angel can't take her. But when they come, they're not saved. And the Spirit of God going to touch them so they can see. Oh, my God. What you know what it is to look down and see somebody laying there? You say it's a deathbed, but God said they're not dead. They're sleeping. They're sleeping right there. Because that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
They're asleep. You know, they just resting right there. And you say, well, they're in a coma, induced coma, or whatever the case. And God said, look, folk are coming in. They begin to recognize how short life is. She is in her 20s. And you look at her, she's a young woman, full of life. They look there, you can see her body just glowing. But she laying there. Everything is just stationary. She can't move to the left or the right. She can't get up and go to the bathroom on herself, on her own. But it tells you. It makes you say, well, am I living right? It makes you take an inventory of your life, how you're living.
That's
well,
right.
When I see stuff, it makes me take an inventory. Lord, am I pleasing to you? Because so much that we find out, I even told my son one time, I said, you think that because you're young and you're good-looking, you're handsome, that that's all that matters? They got a lot of handsome and good-looking people inside the graveyard, you know? And when they died, they didn't know where they were going before they died. And they died not knowing if they're going to heaven or hell. You know, I said, but while you have an opportunity to change, allow God's Spirit to change you. You know, we get too caught up in what I don't have and what I need and what I want. And what you really need, you're not concerned about. You need to have the Spirit of God so you can live for God, so you can do right. And stop thinking about what you have is yours. I ain't giving nobody nothing. I ain't doing nothing for nobody. I got what I got, how I got it, and I'm not giving that to nobody. But guess what? God would do allow something to happen. That all that you've been trying to hold on to, and just going down the street. I mean, I've seen it happen. Where the boy come home from school. You see the little boy? Do you see that thing?
was out of New Jersey. Like, the little boy came home from school here in Boston and just come home and put down his laptop. Do you see that? Did anybody see that? Oh, you don't watch the news. You all don't watch the news. You just... I watch the news because I want to know what's going on in the world. That big boy put down his laptop. Just come home from college. Put his laptop in the bed where he is. The laptop overheated, catch the bed on fire. He died in the house. Burned down the house.
My God.
You don't watch this stuff. You don't watch this stuff. This stuff, this is real. You think, well, oh, you got it all together because you're young, you're good-looking, you're handsome, you're attractive and all that stuff. I don't need no Jesus stuff. That's what they say. I don't need no Jesus stuff. I'm a young man. I'm not going to die. That man, boy came home, he's a young boy. You know, 19 years or something like that. He that burned up the house, the laptop and everything burned up. You know, I'm telling you, nothing you can have worse mood than having Jesus. You're looking at all these different things in the world, and you say, I don't have these things. Well, my husband don't treat me right. My wife don't treat me right. My son acting a fool. My daughter acting a fool. You, all these things you're worried about. You don't have no control of those things. What does St. Lorenzen prayer say? Accept the thing that you cannot change and change the thing that you can. You got to learn. We got to learn to accept things that we cannot change. But one thing we can change is we can change how we walk, how we talk, how we live. We can change those things because we can get connected to the one who changed those things. When you get connected, truly connected to Jesus, guess what happened? The love that the woman of God preached about this morning begins to pour into your heart. And when that love begins to pour into your heart, guess what happened? All the other things that you were thinking about yesterday don't have any more power over you. No longer you start worrying about, well, I don't have my own house. I don't have my own car. I don't have my husband yet. I don't have my wife. As I can afford. Oh, my husband. All this stuff don't have no power over you anymore. Because now you realize, you know what? These things are going to happen anyway. If they don't happen in 2013, guess what? 2015, they may happen. They may happen in 2014. The very woman that you're in love so much, that love you so much, may turn on you. She decide, well, I don't want this and I don't want that. And I've seen something better. The same man might see something better. And things start topsy-turning. But once you start to fall in love with Jesus, once you fall in love with Jesus, you see that everything in your life begins to change. They don't change all at one time. Why don't they change all at one time? Because if everything changed all at once for us, we'll go back doing some of the same things we were doing before, because you realize you ain't got no need for Jesus. That's why he don't change all. He can snap his finger and everything changes in your life one time. But no, he changed a little bit at a time. And every time you change, he changed a little bit, he shows you something else that needs changing. Why? So you have to keep stay in his presence. You have to stay in his presence. You just can't come in and get everything fixed. That's what he said. Well, I'm going to church. God, if I go to church, the pastor going to lay hands on me. She or he going to lay hands on me, and everything going to change. It don't happen like that. A little bit going to change. Get you excited. So you want more. You get thirsty. You get hungry. You want more. That's how it works. So you got to keep coming. You keep coming. And every day, a little bit more change. Keep coming. We want to. Lord Jesus. Okay, Keisha. Come on and pray for these people on the line. Because ain't nobody.
Wait, I have something to say, Apostle.
Oh, you feel like. Go ahead.
I thank the Lord for the line today. I give honor to God and to Apostle and First Lady and my local bishop. I just want to say that my sister brought a mighty word today, a convicted word. It's funny because I'm preaching tomorrow on love, peace, and happiness, and today she preached on love with the same scriptures, but it's all right. Twins think the same. You'll get some of the message in tomorrow. So if you didn't hear it today, you're going to hear it tomorrow. But I just want to thank the Lord for the line and everything that you guys do. And I just want to encourage everyone to let them know that the Lord loves them, and so do I.
We love you. Love, peace, and happiness. That's a stone. Love, peace, and happiness. God is so awesome. God don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. He know exactly what he doing and how to do it. He don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. He know what you need. You wonder how God figure all this stuff out. He don't make mistakes. He know exactly what we need. See, man, I tell you something. I listen to the word because I be doing a lot of stuff while you all are preaching and teaching. And I'm setting up some stuff to type on my computer. But I'll be listening, and I'm just hear the spirit. And when I hear, I got to go back later. I put in my headphones, I lay down, so it can really go into my spirit, man. Deaconess Keisha went so deep. She went so deep into the word, talking about this love. She went so deep into it that you had to really pay strict attention to get to grasp what she was saying. She was deep, deep, deep in there. And once you get that like that, it makes you reexamine your love, or what you call love. It makes you reexamine, is this thing that I was really gravitating to is really love, or is it just, is a feeling, an emotion? It's what's working in my flesh. It makes you think. Because when you think about love, folks say, well, she just turned me on. He just make me feel so good. And that's all it is. It makes me feel good. But after that good feeling for 3 seconds, 1 minute, guess what happened? There's no more feeling. So what do you have? You don't have love. You have an emotional feeling. You know, an emotional excitement. And God wants to get you out of that place where you are just focusing on that emotion. And he wants to get us into a place of the spiritual walk. Listen, because it's mainly a spiritual walk. That's what love is. It's a spiritual walk that comes from him. You understand? So when you get in that spiritual walk of love, my God, you said it so clearly. You don't think twice to give in to your brother that's hurting. You don't think twice to help your sister that's hurting. You don't think twice. I like what you said there, Keisha. That really blessed me too. You don't even have to know your brother or sister that's hurting. They don't even have to be connected to your local assembly.
Right.
Why? Because the love of God that dwells inside you that she talked about in John moves your heart to a place that you want to help your sister or brother. I talked about yesterday, you're going into your freezer and you're taking out some of them chicken that going to spoil. Eventually, you're going to tear them chicken away. That all them spare ribs you got in the side of the freezer, all them hamburgers you got packed up in there, you start packing, making a box, and you say, well, look what? I'm going to bring them to church because I know my brother coming to church tomorrow. And, you know, see, I'm just making Now say that your brother's coming tomorrow to church today. You know your brother coming to church tomorrow. You bring a box. You got hamburgers, you got chicken, you got whatever, pig feet, whatever. You know, I like some pig feet too. I don't care. They say, if you eat pork, yes, I eat pork. I pray over it, and whenever I pray over it, it's good. Because that's what my Bible told me. Once you pray over it, it is good. Yeah, you bring this stuff and you get to, you set them up, and when your sister or brother coming to church, you go and don't make a scene. Because I watch people get up on the altar and they want to write a check to the church, and they're going to hold the check up so high because they want everybody in the church to see they're writing the checks to the church. You don't do that. You don't do that. Because you're doing that for people to see. If you gain $1,000, if you gain $500, you gain $250. Just couple your staff and put that in the envelope. Everybody don't have to know. God already know before you leave on what you're going to give. People do that. But you bring this stuff to church. Just give me this because the Lord dropped it to send the spirit right now. And you bring that little box, or big box, for the Lord said. You tell your wife, you tell your husband, look, we're going to sow this is a seed. We're going to sow into brother's so-and-so life. We're going to sow into sister's so-and-so life. Now you got to understand. If that sister or brother refuse that and they're too prideful, it's between them and God. You give it to somebody else. You give it to somebody, but don't take it back home. Give it to somebody else. Because the thing is that so many people are so full of pride that they don't receive from the Lord. You say, well, The Lord told me to fill your gas, your car with gas today. I know you can't afford to fill your car with gas. I'm going to fill your car. Come, let me drive to the... If you don't know me well, you don't give me a credit card. You say, let me drive you to the gas station. Listen to me. I'm giving you all some wisdom now. Don't give everybody your checkbook. Don't give everybody your credit card. Some people give people the credit card and checkbook. I'm telling you. Don't give anybody this. And you go to the gas station with them. And if you need be that you got to go to the grocery store, you buy them some food, you go to the grocery store. You don't give them your credit card. Listen, because you might not see them. They might end up over there in Jamaica. They may end up in Barbados. They may end up in France with your credit card. Don't do that. Use wisdom. And you give them, and guess what happened? When you do that, you bust loose heaven. You say, but Lord, I got to give them all this food. All of a sudden, people start blessing you with food. You ain't got, your freezer not big enough. Because why? You have just opened the door of heaven because you blessed one of his. What Jesus said? Jesus says, I was naked, and he didn't put no clothes on my back. He said, I was hungry, you didn't give me no food to eat. He said, I was athirst, and you didn't give me nothing to drink. Listen to me, it's in the book of Matthew. This is the word. And then he says, I was in jail. You didn't come and look for me. In the book of Matthew. In the man said, where did we see this happen? He said, every day to one, he looked these ones that are lost. He said, do you understand? This is what I'm paraphrasing, because I'm not even looking in my Bible. It's coming up in my spirit. This is how we get blessed. Because we look beyond our four walls and we begin to think about, Lord, listen. You know, people say, Lord, do this for me, do that for me. You know what I say, Lord? I pray, Keisha, Deaconess, here. This is what I say, Lord, what can I do for you today? That's my prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, put somebody in my path today that I can share a good word, that I can tell them I love them. Because when I give them my love, they recognize, yes, that's a man of God. If you're a woman, they say that's a woman of God. Why? Because I'm not loving them under condition. I'm not loving them because they can write me a check for $100. I'm not loving them because they can send me a portion of money order for $200, $50, $25, $10. I'm not loving them because the love of God abides in my heart. You preached the word, that word this morning. The love of God abides in me. He said, if the word abides in you, then men would know that you are my disciples. See, the word is love. Do you know that? The word of God is love? Because the Bible says Jesus is love. And the Bible also said that Jesus is the word. So if the word abides in you, what ought to be abiding in you is love. But you find out, we said we got the word, but we don't have no love. But I got something to tell you. You don't have no word. Because if you truly have the word of God, you have love. You have genuine love, unconditional love. That's what the word of God is. The Bible said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if the word of God is inside of you, guess what happened? You got love. You got genuine love. You don't, I'm not going to pray for her because I can't stand her. I'm not going to pray for him. God. Look, I don't care what you do to me. If I know you need prayer,
that's right.
I got people that did stuff to me. Keisha, I got folk out there right now that owe me over $1,000. Listen to me. Way over $1,000. And they wouldn't even call me, wouldn't speak to me, nothing. Listen, they're going ahead. I got a guy that his brother is on, he's one of the big commentators on BET. And when I was in Washington, Metropolitan, he used to come to our church, his brother, come to our church. And he was too embarrassed to go to his own brother making six figures that he came to me. And he says, man of God, I was running my business, heating and air conditioned business back then. He said, man of God, we are about to get, I know him. So I'm just telling you, about to get put out of my place, me and my wife and the children. I was making good money, you know, air conditioning. And heating systems. And I said, no problem. God has blessed me to have some money. And I said, well, I'm gonna pay for your apartment. You can't put food in your fridge, everything. Man, I do that. The guy, he didn't even come back to church. He didn't come back to church. Look, just like, I don't know if you remember, there's a guy came in the church, said he lived around there in Quincy. I'm going to just show you something because you all don't believe that. So, and the guy came into church, he had a backpack. You remember that Sunday, the black guy? He came up to the altar.
I remember.
For him, we had food and everything upstairs. We had stuff going on upstairs, had cake and all that stuff upstairs. I don't know what came in, what there was. And the man, when I went outside, I saw him coming up the stairs all the way up top. He meet me in front of the stairs. He says, "Man of God, I'm just move over here, and I don't have this, I don't have that. Can you lend me some money?" And you know the Lord, listen to me, people, that's going to help you. You got to know, listen, this is going to bless you. You got to know as a servant of God when to give and when to lend.
That's right.
Listen to me, you got to know when to give. Bishop talk about that in your life. Said, don't you lend people, some folk in the church, anything because they're not even going to pay you back. They're sometimes even going to come
right
out to church. Guys, he said, look, and the Lord said, don't you lend him anything. The Lord says, give him.
Mm-hmm.
I told the man, I said, look, I can't lend you this. I said, but I'm going to give you that. He said, no, you don't want to buy it, Pastor. I'm coming back to church next week because I love this church. I just live around the corner in the building over there. I said, okay. I'm just going to give you this because if you don't show, I ain't got to worry about that on my spirit that I lend this man no money. And the Lord just brought it in my spirit just for edification to show you all, don't you do that. Use wisdom. Because sometimes it's better for you to give somebody $50 or $100 than to lend them five.
That's right.
It's better. You say, well, I rather lend them the $50 or the $500 than give them $50. No, Lord said, no, give them $75, and you ain't have to worry about it. Because I'm going to bless you for what you just blessed them. The Lord said that. I'm going to bless you for what you just blessed that poor soul. Because guess what? If you let them, you're going to get mad with yourself. You don't want to pray. You don't want to sing. You don't want to dance. Because all you thinking, you're in the church, you're looking all around, looking in the back, looking in the front, looking sideways. Well, I don't see her come to church. I don't see him come to church. I just give it, just loan him all that money, and he don't even come to church anymore. God said, don't you worry about that. You just give him away. You just give them. And say, Lord, I thank you that you have put me in a position that I can bless my brother. I thank you, oh Lord, you put me in a position I can bless my sister. Sister in the Christ, brother in Christ. And guess what happened? The Lord said, because that you have done that, and you maybe need what you have right then. Listen to me. I got to help you all today. He said, thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to help you. You might need just what you have. You said, but I only have $75 in the bank. And the Lord says, what you give to my son today, to my daughter today, I am going to multiply for you. You know what the flesh going to tell you? Listen, what the flesh going to tell you? Because the enemy, listen, oh my God, I got to put down my, let me turn off this computer, it's running fire hot, this iPad. Let me turn it off, it's like fire. Let me help you. The enemy of the house of God going to tell us, not you alone, me too. I'm first partaker, what's coming up my belly right now. He said, the enemy going to tell, don't you give your brother anything. Let them go through. Let him go through what he's going through. Listen to me. This is what the spirit in this world does. Why? Because why is he saying this? Why is he saying this, Apostle? Why is Satan speaking to you right now and saying this? Don't you bless that girl. Don't you bless that boy. You know why he's saying that? Because Satan wants to keep them in his grasp. Do you hear me? He wants to keep your brother or your sister that is part of the body of Christ. Listen. The Bible says in John chapter 17 that there's many that belongs to the body, but they're not yet there. You might say, well, that sister, that brother over there that's hurting today. But they're not part of Mount Calvary. They're not part of the Baptist Church. They're not part of Apostolic Pentecostal system. They're not part of us. But God said they're already part. It's in the Bible. He said they're just not in there yet. They just not have sign the paper and say, well, I'm joining your church, but they're part of my church. And you have to do what needs to be done because you're my hands, you're my eyes, you're my ears that going to draw them to the church. You have to be, we have to be, listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. We have to be the hands, we have to be the eyes, we have to be ears, and even the mouth of God to the people that are lost. And we have to be willing to say, well, I'm going to sow a sacrifice into their life. Do you, listen, Keisha, don't you get mad at me, because you said, Pastor, you always talk about me. Keisha, don't get mad at me. But what, Keisha, I'm sure you don't get. Look, do you know, God, you make sacrifice, and you say, okay, I'm going to give the apostle this. Apostle didn't ask you. I tell you what the Lord said, that people have to sow seed, because your seed is what brings up your harvest. The seed is what gives you plenty. The seed is what opens doors for you to be blessed, for you to be healed, the seed that you sow into the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, no, that's your ministry. No, this is not my ministry. This ministry is the ministry of God himself, not me. God himself. You think I want to get up every morning and have to, man, I could be going somewhere doing something else. I could be working in my field, in my business. What the skill that he gave me, but God said, don't do it. Teach the people the truth. That's what he said. Speak the truth in love all over the world. He said, I'm going to take you into nations that nobody can get to from your computer right there. And some places I'm going to go, a physical body going to go there. I got two places in India that want me to come and preach in India, physically preach in India. They're using our messages to teach their congregation from this computer down there. Pastor Sharia, Pastor Sharia and her husband phoned me this morning. They want to evangelize India, and they want me to instruct them, give them the know-how how to evangelize India, because they say there's too much gods. Listen to me. There's 138 million different gods in India. Do you hear what I'm saying? 138 million different gods in India. And she says, we want to evangelize India, and we need you to teach us how to evangelize India. She said, I need you to pray that God would empower us with the right type of directions on how to go about it. And I told her, I said, Pastor, if God has given you that vision to go through India, and you got all types of stuff going on, all these different gods, people paint up like you see on TV, and voodoo dolls and all this stuff, and voodoo kings and all this stuff, I says, God has already empowered you, because God knows you're coming against forces that is beyond your comprehension. Natural and spiritual. And God give you a vision. He already equipped you for the vision. Already equipped. I'm telling you, people, we have to get to a place that we truly love. And the stuff that comes up in earth that make us want to cuss up one another and make us want to bust one another in the face, we got to put it in the toilet and flush it. Because it don't belong in us. It is filth. We are children of God. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to let holiness. I was just studying on something here just now, and it was talking about holiness. And it's a powerful thing, because people think that holiness is what you do. It's not what you do. You dress up in your holy outfit, going to your Sunday school, this and your afternoon worship, this and all that stuff. People think it's holiness is your garments. It's not the garments. Holiness is what happened from the inside that changes others. Folk are watching you, watching me, and say, "Well, oh, he got his priest collar on. She got a priest robe on, and so on." They're watching us, and they're professing like they're so holy. But if you say the wrong thing to them, they'll let you know who you are. They'll tell you stuff that when you look at them and you say, Lord Jesus, I thought she was a woman of God. I thought he was a man of God. And then they say, that's what a woman of God acts like. Guess what? I don't want to be a woman of God. I don't want to be a man of God. Because you dress holy. You sing and dance. You jump and skip. But you're not living holy. It's very important. I tell you this because I love you. I don't cross all the T's, and I don't dot all the I's. And I can't get here and tell you that I'm all that in a bag of chips. Because each day I keep telling you this. You know why I tell you this? Because God is working on me. God is working on parts of my life that will blow you away. You know, will blow you away. Because you look at me and say, well, Apostle, he is this and he is that. Well, that's all well and good. But I'm not going to let that go to my head and make me slip back into Mary Claire. He said, let me show you what I got here. He says, holiness isn't a subject we hear much about these days. People don't talk about it anymore. So what does it mean to be holy? First, let's understand what it doesn't mean. It doesn't isolate you from the world because you play you holy. It don't isolate you from your world. You are still in the world. It isolates you against its negative influences. It's not a scoreboard or scorecard for deciding who is close to God and who is not. It's having a heart that's aware of your shortcomings and praying. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Holiness means to be set apart in a special and exclusive way. As in holy commune, where the bread and wine are set apart from every day used to honor God's death. Or holy matrimony, where a couple, talking about marriage, and the woman of God talked about that this morning. I'm so profound. She brought that, how she tied that into the thing. Where a couple promises to be faithful to each other, to the exclusive of all others. Chuck Winslow wrote, when I was a young husband serving in the Marines, 8,000 miles away from my wife, I knew Cynthia existed. Talking about his wife. I could read her letters and occasionally hear her voice on the phone, but I couldn't see or touch her. I had only the memory of all standing together 3 years earlier before God and the minister who pronounced us husband and wife, setting us apart exclusively to each other for the rest of our life. That is what holiness is. We were wed in this date, 1995, but regardless of how long ago it was, we stood together and committed ourselves to a holy intermingling of our lives. To be intimate with one another, woman would break that holy relationship, that exclusive oneness, remembering that helped keep me faithful while we were apart those many months. And it still has 41 years later. Chuck Swindoll said that when he thought about the holiness of his matrimony, even though he was far away from his wife, it kept him holy or focused on his relationship with her. Not only with her, but because he is a man of God, because he's still alive. Chuck Swindoll, he's a pastor. He retired from pastorship now. He's an older man. He was focused on the God that's in him, that's transforming him from the inside out. That's the thing that's most important. See, when you find out that it is not the woman, but it's God, you begin to live. The holiness shows up from the inside, and people you don't even have to say, well, everywhere you go, I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm deaconess so-and-so. I'm trusty so-and-so. You don't have to say that. Because when people look at you, they can say, that's a woman of God. That's the most important thing. They don't have to elaborate on the title. They say, that's a woman of God. Well, I look at Sister Christine. I could tell the way she carries herself. That's a woman of God. I could tell it. Why? I don't have to see her face. The Spirit tells me. The Spirit tells me. I talked to a woman the other night from California. And her Spirit tells me something else. Her Spirit tells me something else. Because when you talk, if you can't know who a person truly is in 5 minutes, you don't have discernment. You should be able to discern between good and evil in 5 minutes. You don't take no more time than that. My apostle told me, he says, son, if I want to know a person, all I have to do is listen to them for 5 minutes. He said, in less than 5 minutes, God will tell me who they are. Because I ain't trying to know them on my own. I want to know them by God. God will tell me who you are. Don't get to that place that you think you're so holy. You're holy in doubt that you don't want to reach out and help somebody. Yeah, that person's still smoking crack. That person's still smoking marijuana, still drinking, still womanizing, still whoremongering. But God is using you. God is using me to touch their lives. But you said, no, I don't want to pray for them. I don't want to help them. Because if I help them, say they go buy a sandwich, they go into the store and buy a 40. Well, that's on them. As long as you do what God tells you to do, if they go buy a 40, that's their business. Because the Bible says that every idle word or idle thing that a person do, they will give account for. You must understand that. You're not doing it for glory. You're doing it because God says so. And when you do it because God says so, guess what happened? God gets the glory, and you get blessed. Because that person can go and say, you know what? Oh, man, I was driving down the street, and my car was on E. I had my children in the car. My baby was crying. I couldn't buy no milk for her. I couldn't buy no Pampers for her. And that man of God, that woman of God, just took me to the store, bought me milk, bought Pampers for my kid. And not only did she do that, but Lord God, she filled my car with gas. And all that woman can talk about is how God used that man or woman of God to bless them. And guess what? In heaven, angels begin to rejoice because you said, that woman, you saw that man come in church and he was hungry. And look, he didn't know where his next dinner was going by. Yes, the church was giving him, go ahead. The church was giving him some dinner because the church had dinner going on then. But the church wasn't giving him any more because the church preachers and them were saying, well, you know, they're going to come in the church and take advantage of the church. Who cares about that? It's God's house. If they come and they can only go, God is only going to let them do so much in his house. And after they do so, they go that far, God's going to stop them. But meantime, if God tells you, and you're the pastor, you're the preacher, you're the bishop, you're the apostle or whoever he is in the church, and God tells you to bless that person for them to be able to buy some food tomorrow and take care of the kids, you do that. You say, but God, this, you know, we try to rationalize and justify and all that stuff because we don't want to bless them. Well, why can't they go to this body? Why can't? No, they don't go into that body. God put them for you. That's your mission for that day. That's your missionary work for that day, is to bless that person. I don't care who they are. Don't look at their color. Don't look at their height. Don't look at their size. They may be fat. They may be skinny. They may be tall. They may be short. Don't look at none of them stuff. All you got to do is look and see that's a child of God. That's what you need to see. That's what we need to see. We need to see a child of God when we're about to do some stuff for somebody. Don't even look at their circumstance where they smell bad. They didn't have to shower for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Do you know how I used to be like that? I would be so messed up that I want to get to my dealer that I wouldn't take time to take no shower. And my preacher, my pastor would still pray for me. He knew I was messing up singing in the choir, singing the praise team. And when I finally received the deliverance, because, you know, when you pray, you get your deliverance is released from heaven right away. But you gotta walk in it. And when I received the deliverance, my pastor says, he said, son, both of them, we know you were still messing up, and we've been praying for you. Because we didn't see you where you are, where you were, but we saw where you could be. They were looking beyond my faults and seeing my needs. And they prayed for me till I got out of that dark place. People of God, allow God. All I'm trying to say to you all today, God has equipped you. He's empowered you to be his servants. Whatever foolishness you're doing, stop. I'm telling you right now. Because we're going into a place of spiritual tornadic storms. And folk going to start dying. Listen, folk going to start dying because of the living wrong, the living bad. I'm just telling you, this is prophetic word coming out of my spirit right now. football going into a tornadic storm, that people are going to start dying because they're living wrong, because God's bringing correction. Believe it or not, he's bringing correction. God is sick and tired of people, folk in the church, saying that they're this and this and that, and they're living like hell. He's tired of it. Do you see, if you go back, you say, well, what are you talking about? Go back in the book of Genesis and look and see when the people of God begin to, they steadily keep messing up. And God give them, send them warnings and begin to, we were talking about Job the other night. But let's look at, no, hold on a minute. When God has a plan to send tornadic, spiritual tornadic storms in the earth, he first puts a person in position, a servant, a man or woman in position to bring a prophetic message to his church. We are his church. And if we don't receive the prophetic word, guess what happened? We are taken out with those. We're also taking it with them. Noah's ministering to the people, the church, the synagogue, and what happened is now the church had become just like the world. So they were doing all the things that the world were doing. And what happened is when Noah started to go and do according to what God said, picking up the animals and two by two, and then he said, all the thing was there was eight souls, he and his sons and his sons' wives and his wife. And they got on that boat and closed the door. Close the window. God begin to send what they have never seen before in their life, rain, water on the earth, to flood the earth. God's about to do things in this earth realm that some of these renowned preachers going to be surprised. Listen, going to be surprised, because the way the church is going right now, and God has to clean his church. He's the only one going to clean it. Because right now we find ourselves that we want so much, and all we're doing, we want. And as long as we can go this place and jump and shout and all that stuff, and we think that we are the best, we're the best singers, we're the best dancers, we're the best preachers, but we're not doing what God wants done, and that is to preach repentance. We must preach the cross. We must preach repentance. Right? We are preaching too much happy messages to make people happy. Oh, my God, that was a good message. That was the people happy. But nobody, that's why we have so much adultery in the church. We have so much fornication in the church. We got so much cussing and lying in the church. I'm not talking about Mount Calvary Church. I'm talking about the church in general. We have too much stuff going on which should not be in the house of God. Because we ought to be changed people. Remember we said yesterday, change people, change people. But what happened is we see people acting the same way. I tell you about the people that just have the church in Minnesota. Yes, they got a devil church. They got a gay church. They got a lot of gay churches here. But they just open a full blown church and say that me and my boyfriend. You remember? Understand how bold that is? That they go right out now. This is how bold the church is that is contaminated. That they come right out. They're not saying well. The preacher's gay. And you know, they say, well, he's a gay preacher. But no, the preacher said, no, the preacher got his boyfriend. Or his girlfriend, what they call girlfriend, is a letter man. In the church. You think God ain't going to show up and correct that? Well, I got news for you. He's going to. Because God's not going to have his house contaminated. What Jesus did when they were doing the same thing. They went in the church. They went in the house of God. And they were acting a fool, Keisha. And Jesus took a rope and began to beat the daylights out of them. Well, he did. He told them to get out. He said the Father's house was supposed to be a house of prayer. And they make it a den of thieves. This is what's going on today. People saying stuff to make you feel happy. And you'll put your... I watched it last night on TV. And one preacher was saying, and he used the word of God too. But I'm going to tell you now, if you didn't watch him, you'll see him. He's a very, very well-known preacher. And he was telling people last night, he says, he talked about the eight transfer of the wealth in the Bible, which I know. He talked about the eight transfers. There was eight transfers of the wealth of the wicked to the righteous in the Bible. And he broke that thing down and make it sound so good. And then, because I said to myself, I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm listening to him. I said, you know what? He's going right to go make them people give a lot of money, believing that if they give that money, that God can give them money. Well, it is true that if you give it shall be given to you, good measure pressed on, running over shall men give into your bosom. That's the scripture. If you give it shall be given unto you, that's good. But that's not the way you give. You don't give because you know if I give, God gonna give me something. You should give because that's my heart. That's my love. I love to bless people. I don't pray because if I pray for you, I know God going to have somebody praying for me. I don't pray because if I pray for you, God can open the windows of heaven for me. I don't pray for that. I pray because it's my duty, it's my love to reach out and touch God's heart to touch somebody. I give because when I give, God's heart is seen. Listen, by my giving, somebody see God's heart. Do you hear? Not mine, they see God's heart. You say, why not? They don't see not my heart. They don't see my heart. They see God's heart. When you give, they're not seeing your heart and say, well, she's a good person. They're seeing how God is using you, how God used you to bless them in their time of need. That's what they see. That's genuine love. That's the love she talked about this morning, that the deaconess talked about this morning. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a good feeling. It's an action. And when you operate in the action of what love really is, then you lay down, you say, oh, my God, that was a good thing, real good thing I did. You know, you feel so good. You know, like when you, like I when I had my tires went out on last Saturday, and I couldn't stop thinking about that, Keisha. I got home and I kept telling my honey, I said, you know what? Man, you know, you see, I said, Deacon-elect, he's up doing this, cooking this for the church, cooking that for the church. And he got down there with me and stayed with me. We take the tabs off, put the tab back on. All that was hard work. That was hard work. I mean, it was hard work because I had to sweat. He was sweating. Keisha was sweating looking at us. You know, it was hard work. And I had to send her a message, even though I knew that we said it so many times, how much we thank and appreciate she and her husband helping us. She even though she holding the light. We wouldn't let her stress. She carrying the baby. I would have been mad if she was working. She know that. But she would stay with us and her husband and stayed with the car while I come home to get some stuff that didn't work. And they stayed there. That is genuine love. People, I'm just trying to show you something. Because the enemy got the church concentrating too much on the church and the church alone. The Father didn't operate like that. I'm giving you so much here right now. It costs you $175 an hour for what I'm giving you right now. The Father did not operate like that. The Bible said that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Genuine love. So that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We have to get to a place that we see that it's not about us, but it's about him doing his will through us. Do you hear me? We got to get to that place. Keisha, I want you to come in and pray and close the line. I am going to study my book, these questions, even though I'm not teaching next Sunday. I study my book, and I will see you all tomorrow morning at church. And tomorrow afternoon, we will be here at this message, okay? We'll be here to hear Trusty Kid bring her message. We know it's going to be exciting, so just come on. Next Tuesday, we're going to get our fight next Tuesday that we missed this week, too. Evangelist Baxter going to be teaching next, preaching next Tuesday, so we're looking forward to that. Go ahead, Keisha, and close us out.
Most precious Father, Lord God, we thank you for the word this morning, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the conviction, Lord God, the self-examination, Lord God. Most importantly, Lord God, we thank you for your son that died on the cross for our sins, Lord God. Ask that you continue to keep us, Lord God. Continue to bless us, Lord God. Continue to move in us and through us, Lord God. Continue to minister to us, Lord God. Continue to send your healing power, Lord God, for Mother Irene, Lord God. Lord, we lift up the Jackson families as our Mother Gladys from the local church has passed, Lord. Continue to comfort them, Lord God. Keep them and guide them, Lord God. Nurture them, Lord God, as they deal with this difficult situation. But,
yes.
Lord, you are mighty, Lord God, and you are able, Lord God. And it was time for the mother to come on home to you, Lord God. Lord, we just bless you and we magnify you, Lord God. We honor you. We worship you, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you continue to strengthen my family, Lord God. My husband and his siblings, Lord God, keep them, Lord God. Bring them on one accord, Lord God. Let them show love and compassion for one another, Lord God. We bind the spirit of greed, Lord God. But, Lord, we ask that you pour out your love, Lord God, because your love is more than a good feeling, Lord God. Lord, we bless you, Lord God, for Apostle and Lady Nancy, Lord God. Continue to keep them, Lord God. Give them favor, Lord God. You know their needs, Lord God. You know their desires, Lord God. And, Lord, these are people that have a heart to serve you, Lord God, to bless you, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you do the same for them, Lord God, supply all their needs and cover them, Lord God. Sister Christina, Lord God, bless her and keep her, Lord God. Draw her closer to you, Lord God. Pour your healing upon your body, Lord God. Lord, give her a new mindset, Lord God. Strengthen her, Lord God. Speak to her like never before. Comfort her, Lord God. God, and plant your head and protection around the children, Lord God. Evangelist Campbell, Lord God, wherever she may be, Lord God. Bless her, keep her, strengthen her, Lord God. Cause your light to shine upon her, Lord God. Lord, bless every member, Lord God, that is supportive to this line. Lord, Sister Carmen, Lord God, I lift her up before you on this morning, Lord God. Keep her, Lord God. Continue to strengthen her, Lord God. Continue to move in her life, Lord God. Continue to make a way out of no way, Lord God. Continue to surround her with people that are God-fearing, that love you, that will encourage her, Lord God. That will pour out your love, Lord God, in her life, Lord God. Lord, we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Thank you so much. We thank the Lord for you so much, Deaconess. I pray that the Lord bring us all around. You know, I mean, that's my true, that's my belief, that the Lord bring us all around, that we serve him in spirit and in truth. It's very important that we allow the Lord to do that for us, you know, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wicked spirits in high places. And if you know that the enemy is always going to want to take us places that we ought not be going. He's going to want to force us to do things that we ought not be doing. And that's when you have to really call on Jesus. You know, you have to really call on Jesus. He is the only one that's going to strengthen us. Father, we just pray that you continue to bless us in the city, that you bless us in the field. And Lord God, you continue to set us above and not beneath, O God. We pray, O God, that even as the word went forth, Lord God, that you give us the love that we need, the love that only comes from you, O God, the change, the unity that we need, O God, that only comes from you, that you will knit our hearts together, O unconditionally, O God, that we'll love each other, we'll care for each other, we'll respect each other, O God. And, Lord God, we'll be there for each other in time of need, O God. We pray that today, O God, that, Lord, that you have opened our spiritual eyes, O God, and our spiritual ears to hear from heaven today, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you said that you use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things to confound the mighty. And, God, we recognize that it's you, God, so we know your voice, O God. Do you speak to us? Lord, we ask, oh God, that you release the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, over us, oh God, that you bless us in the city, you bless us in the field. Lord, that you continue to bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, that you make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, oh God. Lord, God, that we'll become the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. In other words, that you'll bless us so that we can be a blessing, Lord. Lord, we deserve to bless folk, God, but we can't bless them financially until you bless us. Lord, yes, we can bless them spiritually, Lord God, with your word, by your spirit, but we want to bless them financially. Lord, we ask you, O God, to open the windows, the doors, and the gates of heaven and pour us out blessings. Oh God, pour us out the blessings of favor, O God, that blessings on this earth will come to us, that we can be a blessing to those here on earth, O God. Lord, teach us to love unconditionally, O God. Teach us not to look at circumstances, but to look at you, the solution, O God. We pray, O God, that you continue to strengthen us. Continue to do what you're doing in us, O God, that we'll draw closer to you. Help us to fight off those things that draw us away from you, O God. Lord, I ask that today that you move foolish people out of our lives, O God. Folk that want to draw us away from you, O God, by what they say and what they do, O God. God, help us to be deaf to the things that are not like you, O God, that even when folk come in our ears and begin to speak things that sound good to our flesh and even make us feel good in our flesh, O God, shut us down to those things, O God, that we would not be distracted, delayed, or even destroyed by the works of the enemy, O God. Father, I just pray today that, Lord, as we leave this line but not your presence, that we'll recognize that you loved us, O God, and that Jesus is the only way. So we tell you, O God, each day to tell people that you tell the people that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And I say that to say this, that you don't have to lay down with somebody because you say you love them. You don't have to go to the hotel. We don't have to go to the motel. Don't have to go to the movies. Don't have to go to dinner with them. Lord, you just say, I love you, God love you, and Jesus is the only way. God love them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. However the Lord allowed to release it. But make sure you say, because you want people to know, we are not trying to build enemies in any way. We are the hands and the eyes and the lips and ears of God. So we want to portray who God is. We want people to see God in us and through us, and most of all, we want people to see that we are changing. We are not completely changed, but we are changing. Because, see, a lot of time what happens is folk will get, the enemy will mess you up and make you run around saying, well, I'm changed. And that all lets you know that you are open target for the enemy to take you out, because you get to that place. And it sounds good, but I like what the Lord said to me. He said, you're changing, because every day is a day of change. Every day God is doing something, because he said his mercies, his grace and mercy new every day. So every day God is extending his mercy and grace to us so that we can change, something about us can change, and we become more and more like him. If you are completely changed, you wouldn't have no need for a Savior. But because that he's working on us every day, he shows us something about our lives. And when the man of God or woman of God expose something in your life by the Spirit of God and tell you, well, daughter, son, or whoever they term you to be, you need to work on this or work on that. Don't get defensive, because a lot of us, we shut out God when the man of God or woman of God speak a prophetic word in your life and it doesn't agree with you, your spirit, because we say, well, I'm not going to receive that because it don't agree with your spirit. But it's not to agree with your spirit. It's agreeing with God's spirit, what God is speaking to that man or woman of God. And they're releasing it to you, you know. Or we can take a word when God says, I'm going to bless you with a new car, a new house. I'm going to make your marriage right. We happy when we hear those words, because those are edifying. But when we get a word of correction, we don't want to receive it. And I did that the other night, and the woman got mad, told her husband, I don't believe that word was from God. Because she'd rather sleep with another woman than sleep with her husband. You know? And God exposed it. God exposed it by the Spirit. And she didn't want it. I don't believe it from God. I thought he was preaching to me. He was preaching to me. I just think he was preaching to me. I know your problem. God know. And God tell me what's going on. So I convicted her. My husband called me. My wife told me she thinks he was preaching to her. I love you all so much, and I can't wait till tomorrow to hear Sister Kia, because I ain't hear her in a while.
Amen.
So I can't wait to hear her. You know, God has got great work working out in all of us, and I'm so excited, you know, because if you don't get excited about what God is doing, God's not going to be excited of doing it for you. So we have to get excited every time we come in the presence. Glory to God. I'm excited about Sharita. She's so close. God is just mending her relationship with her family, and that is a blessing. That is a blessing. Akeisha, when you talk to your husband, give him my love. Let him know we are praying for him. He's not by himself. The angels are there with him. Know that the angels are there because we are praying. I was up there praying for him last night. Just let him know that we are praying for him. The angels are with him. And all is well, because the Lord said all is well. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for him, because that's the heritage of the people of God, the saints. So just understand, and he has stepped into that. You know, nobody put you into sainthood. God put you into sainthood when he allowed you to receive his son as Savior. You become saint. You know, you don't have to be a pope to be a saint. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have received the gift to walk as in sainthood. You know, people think that only the pope can be called a saint. No. When Jesus anointed you with the gift of salvation, washed you in his blood, you took on the spirit of sainthood. You didn't know that. Well, you know it now. Anyway, I love you guys so much. Let me go ahead and post this message on Facebook so that people can have it. We still got 20 more minutes, but we'll go on now and post this on Facebook. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Remember that whatever you do today, do it to the glory of God. Remember that God is watching. Mm-hmm. He's hearing, seeing everything. I might not see you all. You might not see me, but guess who sees all of us? The same time, Jesus does, okay? Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Love you too, daughter. Love you, Sharita.